Ebola victim worsens.
The patient in Dallas is critically ill.
Death tied to respiratory virus.
Everyone is worried for their children.
Afraid to die and sad for the pain.
An American hostage's letter home.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. Within the hour, a plane carrying an American with the Ebola virus is due to arrive in Nebraska. 33-year-old photojournalist Ashoka Mukpo got the virus while working in Liberia. The fifth American with Ebola will be put into isolation, says Taylor Wilson at the Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha.
He will be evaluated medically once he gets into the facility. That's one of the first things that will happen when he arrives in his room.
The first patient diagnosed in this country is now in critical condition in Dallas. Health investigators are keeping track of those Thomas Eric Duncan came in contact with.
Every contact was identified and measured for temperature yesterday. None of them have symptoms or fever, and we're confident that if there are any secondary cases there, we can stop the chain of transmission.
The CDC Director, Dr. Thomas Frieden, will be among those briefing President Obama on the Ebola situation today. He tells CBS this morning there is progress being made in West Africa, where more than 3,000 have died.
We've now trained 4,000 people across Africa, across these three countries in Nigeria, to fight Ebola, and we're seeing the first training here in the U.S. 60 people are going through training, and we're going to see those people deploy to Africa and join hundreds of people from around the world who are responding to the outbreak.
The New York Times reports $140,000 worth of medical supplies donated in the U.S. and delivered to Liberia 2 months ago are stuck on a shipping dock. Political disputes are blamed. Dr. Rick Sacra, one of the Americans treated successfully for Ebola, had respiratory symptoms and went to a Massachusetts hospital over the weekend. Dr. Robert Finberg says tests showed this is not a relapse.
Once you have it, like many viruses, you get rid of it. It never comes back. You have immunity. So that's why I don't think he has Ebola.
And Sacra is now getting routine treatment and is out of isolation. The virus that sickened hundreds of children around the country is now blamed for the death of a New Jersey boy. Here's CBS's Heather Bosch.
For the first time, health officials are attributing the death of a child solely to the enterovirus. 4-year-old Eli Waller went to school in Hamilton Township, New Jersey.
It's very saddening, and I just want to know, is there a risk of it spreading?
Parents crowded into a meeting last night asking how to stop the virus that's contributed to 4 other deaths and sickened about 500 kids in 43 states. Superintendent James Parla says good hygiene's the best defense.
Talking to students about how to throw tissues away, making sure that they get to wash their hands.
He adds schools have stepped up cleaning. Heather Bosch, CBS News.
The family of an American held by the terror group ISIS is speaking out. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
Ed and Paula Kasich aren't revealing everything in the letter their son, Abdul Rahman, sent them last June. But in the passages they have released, the 26-year-old aid worker regrets the pain his captivity is surely causing, describes his fear of death, and his hope that his loved ones would be consoled knowing he'd been trying to alleviate suffering. Kasich converted to Islam after his kidnapping. His parents say they respect their son's spiritual journey and have begged ISIS to release him. Steve?
And the FBI director has said more about the threat posed by ISIS. White House correspondent Peter Mayer joins us.
This is the latest strong warning on the ISIS danger. FBI Director James Comey told CBS News 60 Minutes the group wants terrorism on a global scale.
Given our visibility, we know they're serious people bent on destruction, and so we have to act as if it's coming tomorrow.
Comey describes the terror group in Syria as a metastasis of al-Qaeda. He says the Khorasan group itself may still hope to attack the U.S. and allies. And Steve, the FBI chief estimates about a dozen Americans are fighting alongside terrorists in Syria.
It's the first Monday in October, and the U.S. Supreme Court begins a new term. CBS's Barry Bagnato has more.
First on the docket, a case testing whether car searches are unconstitutional if they're done based on a mistaken interpretation of a law. Here in North Carolina, police officers stopped a car with one broken brake light, believing the law required both lights to be working. The car was searched. Cocaine was found.
It's difficult for me to believe the framers of the Constitution expected officers in the field to live up to a standard of perfection,
says attorney Gaetan Gervella-Reosh, representing groups of prosecutors. John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute says with smartphones and dashboard computers, police can quickly clear up any confusion they have.
If we excuse mistakes, we give police a perverse incentive to remain ignorant of the very laws they are responsible for enforcing.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Overseas, a powerful typhoon hammered central Japan. One American airman is dead. Two others are missing. They were washed out to sea during the storm. A new effort's underway today in the Indian Ocean to try to find Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, which vanished 7 months ago. CBS's Charlie Daggett says three ships will use sonar, video cameras, and jet fuel sensors.
The priority area of the latest search is believed to be where the aircraft ran out of fuel. The initial underwater search area was more than 430,000 square miles. That's now been narrowed to 23,000 square miles, but that's still nearly the size of West Virginia.
In Hong Kong, CBS's Seth Doan tells us some things are returning to normal as many pro-democracy protesters disperse.
Hong Kong's chief executive set this morning as the deadline for protesters to clear streets so that some government offices and schools could reopen. Protest leaders have taken steps towards starting talks with the government, but say those talks will not take place if the remaining protesters are forcibly removed.
A 43-year-old man's in critical condition after what police say was an unprovoked attack in the Angels Stadium parking lot in Anaheim Friday night. Police are looking for three men. Three scientists will share the Nobel Prize for Medicine. U.S.-British researcher John O'Keefe and a Norwegian husband-wife team have been honored for their work on the brain. Hewlett-Packard is splitting into two companies. One will focus on computers and printers, the other on software, servers, and data storage. One of rock and roll's outrageous figures has died. It's just keep getting harder to find me. Paul Revere and the Raiders had a top five hit with Kicks in 1966. Revere, the organist and founder of the group, in their on-stage colonial attire, has died of cancer at 76. There may be some new hope for people with peanut allergies. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
North Carolina A&T State University researchers have been able to reduce peanut allergens 98% by soaking them in specific enzymes that could be huge for the food industry.
A lot of the cross-contamination and food recalls are because of accident. They're not intentional. So we can reduce that or eliminate some of them, benefit to them.
Johnny Rodriguez started a company called Allergen Bio that is marketing the hypoallergenic peanuts. About 3 million people in the U.S. have a peanut allergy. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Greensboro, North Carolina.
Authorities in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, say their investigation could take several weeks, but early indications suggest no arson or foul play in the fire that damaged buildings that are part of the Flight 93 memorial last Friday. Among the losses, a flag that flew over the U.S. Capitol on 9/11. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.